I would say to get one great shot, you're doing it at least 20 times. It took over a year. And that's over a year of posting pretty much every single day.
There's no substitute for that. No. You can't make even better content and not be consistent because people want to see it.
We've actually gotten slower with time because we've realized to produce a quality reel or photograph or whatever you're shooting, you need more times, more takes, more shoots.
So 30 minutes of footage creates like a 5-second reel.
Hey guys, welcome to Closing the Coast, presented by our friends over at Southern Tide. I'll be your host, Dylan Staples, and this podcast will dive into entrepreneurship, investment, real estate, and a whole host of other topics. We're really looking forward to having you with us. So sit back, relax, and let's get into the show. Welcome to another episode of Closing the Coast. We're excited to have Maddie and Julia on the show with us. So tell everybody a little bit about who you guys are.
Yeah, we're Maddie and Jules. Julia's full name is Julia. We actually grew up with Dylan, so he knows the non-Instagram name, but we run Kitchen by the Sea, which is a primarily social media account where we share our recipes. We're sisters, if that wasn't obvious. We're the two youngest actually in a family of six. So we're 18 months apart and we pretty much have been attached at the hip ever since. We grew up in Carmel by the Sea, California, and that's where we do a lot of our filming and our footage, and we post our recipes mainly from our mom and our grandma on our account.
That's awesome. So is that where the name Kitchen by the Sea came from? Is that the impetus?
Yes, pretty much. So obviously, like Madeline mentioned, the majority of our content is baking and recipes. And then Carmel by the Sea is just such a huge part of our lives and the place that we love probably most in the world. So we wanted to incorporate that somehow. So it just flowed naturally together.
Yeah. And I remember early on, maybe your mom had sent my mom the Instagram and then she forwarded it to me. And since the beginning, it's been like pretty polished stuff. So tell me how it all started. Like, how did you guys think about the idea? How did you guys begin to execute on it? I mean, this is kind of fascinating.
I would say it's very kind of you, but it was certainly far less polished at the beginning. And I mean, we took a really long time. We started talking about creating a social media account in like 2018. And we, you know, built a website, scrapped it, thought about filming things, scrapped it. And then maybe 4 years later, in late 2022, we realized actually the first couple of things you post, no one's going to look at, no one's going to see. So they don't need to be as polished. And we kind of just jumped off the cliff and we started posting on our account. And Julia actually does all the videos and the photos, so she can speak more to how that's evolved over the course of our account.
Yeah, so I've always loved photography, but I've never dabbled in anything videography. So that was a very new realm for us. And we really just wanted to start by sharing our family's recipes with everyone because cooking and baking was such a huge part of our lives that we wanted to put that out there and share it with other people because it brings us so much joy. And the photography was just sort of a bonus for me because I loved it so much. And then the video and the videography was really something that I just got to learn as we went, hence why it started not so polished. It was definitely a learning curve.
So what kind of interests me too is like when you start a social media account, a lot of people gain like followers and feedback from just capitalizing on their likeness, you know, whether it's, you know, modeling for clothes or, you know, doing those kind of collaborations. There's a lot of like, you know, camera to face content, and you guys just had it, you know, so aesthetically pleasing that you were able to first capitalize, I mean, it seemed on just the stuff that you were producing. So how much quality control, like I imagine there's a lot of quality control still, but like, to be able to build on, you know, really not capitalizing off of who was behind the camera, but the things you were producing, how much quality control went into that?
A lot. I think that is what surprised us the most. And it's actually interesting. We try to film like 4 different things in a day. And we've actually gotten slower with time because we've realized to produce a quality reel or photograph or whatever you're shooting, you need more times, more takes, more shoots. So we've gotten slower with time, which may surprise people. And every single video that we take, what do you think? We start all of our videos pretty much with a bite shot where we bite the food, because our whole goal is we want people viewing it to feel like they can taste it. We want it to look really delicious. That's what we're trying to do. I don't know. How many times do you think those videos are shot?
I would say to get one great shot, you're doing it at least 20 times.
Wow. And that's awesome. The whole cake.
It's the, right. Yeah, the whole cake pretty much. So 30 minutes of footage creates like a 5-second reel.
Wow.
At the end of the day. So it's
sometimes definite, we're luckier than
yeah,
that.
Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes it's great on the first shot.
Perfect on the first shot.
That's what you hope for. But on average, I would say it takes, I don't know, 20 bites to get the bite shot that you love.
That you love that one, that you're slicing into the cake and it looks just like magical. And the person on the other side of the phone is going like running to the kitchen, seeing if they have the ingredients to make the recipe.
That's the goal.
That's the goal.
That's awesome. So at the end of the day, the cake is just 30 little bites out of it. And then you have the shot.
I would say more or less. We try to preserve as much as we can of the cake. And we honestly eat a lot ourselves too. But
That's more or less. That's awesome. So you guys started together. You did your, you know, beginning parts of social media. When did you guys realize that there was a point that came and you're like, you guys probably looked at each other, you're like, whoa, you know, the response we're getting from this is significant and it's starting to take off. Was it sooner than you thought? Was it later than you thought? When was that?
You know, it's interesting because I feel like as you gain more traction, your expectations go up at the same rate, if that makes sense. So I would say in order for us to gain a substantial following, it took over a year. Mm-hmm. And that's over a year of posting pretty much every single day. I would say it was really the consistency that turned out to be key for us in terms of gaining a following, but also retaining that following too. It's super important to be consistent. Mm-hmm. So I would say probably about a year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're constantly surprised. We had no really goal or expectation going into it. We just knew we wanted to write the recipes and post them online. I think Julia is right that your expectation rises. So it used to be we got a million views on a reel and we thought we'd hit the jackpot. We'd run the lottery and now we get a million and we're like, oh, okay, it did great. You know, it did good. And so
you're all right. Million.
Your expectation adjusts. And so I think that is important to us too, is we constantly remind each other like, hey, you know, it's been 2.5 years and we have this great following, we have something to be really proud of, but you do get kind of caught in that cycle of views and followers and what's good enough, and you hit a milestone and then the next milestone you set. And so we tried to be intentional about taking a step back and saying, wow, look what we've created in 2.5 years.
Right. And I think probably one of the most impressive parts that most people watching this wouldn't know is that this is neither of your guys' full-time job.
No, it's not.
So this is completely, you know, it's a surplus to your normal work week. So how is that? How have you navigated that? I'm sure there's been times when you've been fatigued from all of it, you know, having to shoot content. I think that's a lot of times people look at the influencers. I know that's not the best word that everybody loves, but people look at influencers and they go, okay, well, this must be easy for you. Like, how hard is it to, you know, model in front of a camera or shoot content of beautiful recipes that you created in a gorgeous place? But I'm sure it gets tiresome.
It does. I feel like the reason we have done it as long as we've done it is because even though it takes a lot of time, it's something we enjoy doing.
Right.
So there's never really, truthfully, been a moment where we've said to each other, we don't want to do this anymore. If that were the case, we would stop doing it. But since we love baking, we love spending time together, and we love sharing those things with other people, it always feels very rewarding and time well spent, like meaningful time, I suppose. So even though it takes a lot of time to do, there's never been a moment where I wanted to stop doing it. It's sort of the thing I look forward to at the end of every day. So
we call it our 5 to 9.
Yeah, you're 9 to 5, you're 5 to 9.
I think that one of the questions probably we get asked most first question we get asked most is, what do you do with all the food? Which, yeah, primarily we eat it.
That's fantastic. Best answer.
The second thing we get asked is, how much time do you spend on this? And it is a lot of time. Every day after work, we work on it. Every weekend, we work on it. And I think Julia hit the nail on the head. That, I believe, is what part of what has allowed us to be successful is we've just been really consistent. And to be consistent, you have to put in the time.
Yeah, there's no substitute for that. No. You can't make even better content and not be consistent because people want to see it. And I'm sure as you guys have seen, one recipe is not going to catch everybody's attention. You're going to have to put out a number of things. And then you've got that one person that's just head over heels for cheesecake that may not, you know, find a lot of value in like a pecan pie, for example. So that's really cool. So you guys have never been at the point where you're like, okay, this is way too much. But has there been a point where you guys have looked at each other and been like, where does this go from here?
Yes, often.
Definitely. Very often. To us, because we spend so much time on it, we want to make sure that we're being intentional about taking a step back and making sure that we're both enjoying it, but also that our followers are using it and enjoying it. And those are often the conversations that we have is when we think about what are we going to post next? It's what would we enjoy doing? What do we really want to share? And also, what are our followers asking for and doing? Because we get so much joy out of seeing people really around the world. We just had a mom and her son in New Zealand send us cupcakes, which still amazes us to this day that people all around the world are viewing our recipes. But that's what kind of keeps us going. And so we are very intentional about what would we enjoy? What would our followers enjoy? Because ultimately that keeps us excited about what we're doing.
That's awesome. That's a really cool way to think about like the progression. Is there a goal in mind? Like, is there somewhere where you're going, okay, I want to do this full time, or I always want to have this as something that I'm interested in, but it's not my career trajectory? Have those questions floated around?
They have. We're really fortunate that we love our day jobs. We love what we do. And so we don't know what's next, to be totally transparent, but we are both really excited to keep growing Kitchen by the Sea and are aligned to that. But we also love our day jobs and our careers.
That's the best possible scenario, which is really cool. So how much of Kitchen by the Sea was truly, I mean, I know that a lot of that was your enjoyment of baking, but how much of it was also this kind of entrepreneurial spirit of trying to continue to, you know, kind of branch out and try new things and, you know, be committed to being open to fail in certain areas and then succeed in others?
Yeah, I would say it definitely started as a desire to share our family's recipes and to cook together and to share that with other people. But I would say to your question, there is also another part of us that is always wanting to do more and challenge ourselves and try new things and fail sometimes, but ultimately to learn from that experience. So that is a very real portion of sort of what keeps us engaged and excited is the challenge of it all and learning something new and pushing ourselves to do something different that is also uniquely ours is a huge portion of why we love it so much.
Yes, we absolutely started it to share our recipes and to video that. But as we really saw that we started to build something, that is part of what energizes us too, is you start having conversations around, wait, how do you monetize this? Where else can we go with this? We have a website, we have brand partnerships, we have all these different channels that we get to be a little strategic with and think about how do we give our followers more of what they want and monetize this. That has been really energizing to us. We both are really proud of what we've built together from scratch and have always kind of had that entrepreneurial spirit. You know, our family, our dad was an entrepreneur, his dad was an entrepreneur. And so trying to build something from scratch was really important to us. And we're grateful that we're getting to try with Kitchen by the Sea.
That's so cool. And if we go back to what you said, because you kind of said this, and I think it's probably something that a lot of people find really fascinating and the whole concept of monetization in social media.
Yeah.
The brand partnerships are a really cool way that you guys get to particularly use your gifts and talents to continue to monetize and build Kitchen by the Sea? Because I think a lot of people, they understand an athlete puts on Nike. That's a very simple and straightforward brand partnership. Tell us a little bit more about how those have gone and kind of how interesting it was coming from a background that wasn't, you know, an influencer base, and then getting into conversations with companies that if you said the name, people would know.
That has been really fun. And every time that we come to an agreement with a brand in a brand partnership, we are almost still just as shocked and grateful as the first one, because first, we're very intentional about the brands that we choose to work with. We want to make sure that it's one that we love. And so when we enter those agreements, we've thought long and hard about working with a brand. We've come up with a creative concept that we're really excited about. And so, you know, that combination of it being a brand that we love, paying us to create something with them, that is, to this day, it shocks me almost every time of like, wow, we get to do this. We get to create a video with a recipe about a brand that we love for our audience. And that has been really, really fun. I think that they also take a lot of work and time, and that goes without saying. But I think that was a surprise to us going into just creating content in general, is just how much time goes into those partnerships up front.
Before you even start shooting the content, like exactly. The weeks, months it takes to even just land what you are producing was definitely a learning for us. But just to agree with what Madeline said, it is really rewarding to be able to partner with a brand that normally we've had a connection to for many, many years, and to sort of tell a story with them that relates back to who we are and what we do with Kitchen by the Sea is really rewarding.
That's really cool. I think a lot of people are fascinated by that component. And so you have the brand partnerships. In those, specifically when you're dealing with, you know, certain brands, are you doing a lot of the legwork, or at a certain point in the social media, you know, journey, are those brands really kind of approaching you and saying, hey, we've seen what you're doing, we love it, let's come up with an idea that can kind of mutually benefit both of us?
It depends on the partnership. Sometimes a brand will come to us and they'll have a really clear idea of, we've got this campaign, we want XYZ bullets to be mentioned. But most of the time at this point in our journey, they're really letting us come up with the creative vision. And Julia is actually really gifted at sketching those out. I don't know if you want to talk through kind of how that process goes, that we pitch a storyboard to a brand and make sure that our vision aligns with theirs.
So I would say most of the time at this point in where we are, we're pitching a story really that's anchored in a specific recipe that connects back to the brand and the brand's mission and values, like really wanting to make sure that from both sides it's a good fit. And what we sort of do is we map out a storyboard that has, you know, who we are as Kitchen by the Sea, who the company is and what they stand for, and then it shows how we could merge the two together in, you know, one recipe or one sort of snippet or story that we then share with the company. And it's just a fun visual way to demonstrate the goal of the product and ultimately the end result.
That's got to be so interesting to go from where you guys are in your day jobs to dealing with brands of that scale and then starting processes that you never had used previously and going into how those can, you know, be implemented, matching brands' mission statements and the ethos of where you guys come from. It's just very unique. And I think that it speaks a lot to how you guys are very driven and how you guys are there to make it work. So I think a lot of people that look at these, you know, brands and they look at the partnerships, it seems easy, right? Instagram makes it look seamless. There's a, oh, add a collaborator, right? That, oh, nothing went into that, right? They just, you know, they sent me some, you know, item or ingredient and I mixed it in and, you know, slapped the collaborator tab up. And I think a lot of times you don't look at how intentional all of these things are and how much work and effort goes into it. So that's really neat. So One other question that I think a lot of people have when looking at this is social media for the last, I don't know. I mean, I think since its inception, people have been highly critical of social media. And a lot of times it's because of all the negativity or all the potential, you know, pitfalls that it carries. How have you guys kind of navigated being, I think for a lot of people, like kind of a light in a dark or a potentially dark segment of society? How have you guys, you know, like you mentioned, you know, someone sent you cupcakes. How have you guys continued to kind of bring that positivity and that creativity and, you know, keep people stoked on Kitchen by the Sea?
You know, it's something we talk about a lot because we're all surrounded with social media pretty much all the time. And our goal with Kitchen by the Sea is to really share recipes and to inspire other people to learn to bake or to start baking or to even write down their own family's recipes. And it's very important that our platform is a positive space and a space that brings joy to other people. That's really what motivates us. And I would say our followers are honestly really great. They're all so very kind. Positive. They're all so encouraging. And I think, I know this isn't always the case, but in our experience with social media, we've gotten back sort of what we put out there with a very loving and encouraging follower base. So it's really about just leaning into the good of it and to encourage joy and positive conversation.
Yeah, I think you're gonna see negative commentary on any social media platform. And as Julia mentioned, our following is incredible. We're so grateful for them and they're so positive. But when there are those occasional negative comments, we don't encourage that. We don't engage because that's not the space that we want to create on Kitchen by the Sea. And so we've been intentional about just seeing the positive. And when people do reach out to us and tell us they've made something, we repost it if we can. We engage with them and just want to hear how it went. We obviously can't do that to every single comment, right. But that is really what we try to foster, is a space where that's the stuff that we engage with and it's what motivates us to.
Right. So how much have each of you guys, I mean, I'm sure you have found kind of the things that you have been particularly gifted with in this process and then leaned into those talents and kind of created a more efficient, but more, you know, successful and probably a happier partnership between you two. I mean, a lot of people looking at this are going, okay, all right, two sisters, they're cooking and baking, which can oftentimes, I don't know in your household, but in my household, there could be bickering when you cook and bake.
Never.
Right? How have you guys kind of found those particular, you know, things you're good at that, you know, one of you might be gifted at more than the other and then leaned into those kind of talents?
I would say it was, for us, pretty clear from the get-go. Yes. I mean, we know each other very well, right? We're sisters. Right, we've grown up together.
Shared a room pretty much our whole life.
Yeah, that's the benefit of, you know, doing this with sisters is, from the get-go, it was pretty clear who would own what. So Madeline has, like, a great background with working with clients and sort of understanding the more negotiation side of things. So she's been great at sort of owning that piece of it and more of customer facing and client facing, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then I briefly talked about this, but I've always loved photography and sort of compositions and what makes up an image. And then what we're baking is very much a combination of both of our sort of opinions and thoughts. But I would say, honestly, it was pretty easy for us just with our interests and skill sets, which is also sort of why we've always wanted to do this, is it was something where it felt invigorating and exciting for both of us with our different gifts and passions.
And I think we used to try to be everywhere at once. Mm-hmm. So Julia does all the videos and the photos, and we used to sit down every night and I would run through them with her. We'd select, we'd align on editing, all of those things. In the same way, Julia used to join all of our meetings. She would join all the negotiation calls. She would read every blog that I posted. And we learned that we trust each other and we can't be on everything.
Can't do it all.
We can't do it all. It's too much for both of us to be everywhere. And there's no better person than one of us to be at something, and we've kind of learned to let go. And now we honestly think of it not as a waste of time, but we know, you know, one person has got that. And that's the way that we can be most efficient. But that was a learning for sure, because we used to both want to be everywhere all the time, and you just can't do that.
Yeah, that's particularly interesting, especially with two people. I think that's something that I've learned, you know, in various partnerships, is that, you know, leaning into those strengths. But at first it's hard, and it's particularly inspiring to hear that from sisters that inherently trust each other, that there's still this kind of like, everybody wants to be involved at every little point, but where you scale and where you begin to, you know, become way more successful is when you let somebody that's way better at it, you know, do it that way. So there's a book called 10X is Easier Than 2X. And it's all about like, you work twice as hard, or maybe you guys are both involved on everything and you can get to 2X. It's just working twice as hard. But 10X is when you start to really, you know, see, okay, well, Jules is way better at X, Y, or Z. Let her do that, and I will go spend my time, and the precious thing that we all have is time, doing the things that I'm more gifted with, and I go and kind of explore those avenues, so to speak. But that's really kind of cool to see that you guys have realized that and, you know, come to terms with it. And I know that that's particular. I keep saying this, in a family environment, everybody is traditionally so involved in everything. It can be kind of natural that everybody would still stay so involved. So that's very cool to see.
It was not an easy place to get to, but
no, but definitely for the best, because also we enjoy our respective roles
so much
more,
right?
That it was when we were trying to be sort of everywhere that it felt more draining and less fulfilling. So it took a second to get there, but I think it just works so much better.
Right. So there's also an interesting component to your guys that we kind of talked about it briefly. You guys are doing cooking and baking. It's the irony of doing cooking and baking on social media, because so many of the people on social media do not cook or bake.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that obviously do that engage, but how many of the people that really have taken a liking to your guys' stuff have been inspired to finally learn those skills? Because maybe 30, 40 years ago, a lot of people possessed those skills, and now it's become kind of unique. If someone can cook and bake, it's like, wow, you know, like, oh my goodness, they can do those things. So how many people have you guys encountered that are new to the craft?
I would say a lot.
A lot. So many.
So many. And we're even impressed. We had someone DM us the other day, and we made this chocolate cake inspired by the Bear TV show.
Right.
And so we think it's not an easy cake. It's got chocolate cake, chocolate mousse, and then chocolate ganache on the outside. And so there's three separate components. Mousse can be finicky. It's not it's not the easiest. And he told us, he said it's his first cake ever. And he made it. He sent us a picture. And we were so impressed. Yeah. But we see a lot of people who maybe it's their first cake or their first something else. And they just haven't done it before. But that's where video plays a huge role. I mean, we grew up on Food Network. Barefoot Contessa was our everything. It still is. That video component, and all of our videos have a corresponding blog with step-by-step images that Julia takes. And so we try to be really intentional about making sure that pretty much anyone could make most of the things that we're posting.
That's so cool. Because I think a lot of people become inspired, obviously, by things they see on social media. But to bring people to something that can be so fulfilling and that they can share with other people is super cool. I mean, there's something to be said about the fitness accounts. There's something to be said about all the other things, right? The hobbies. But I think cooking and baking, especially because it's become sort of a lost art in our society when everything is so immediate. And cooking and baking takes that time. You, like you said, to make the mousse well, you have to spend the time and the effort, and you know, it can be finicky, and I think a lot of people have lost that desire. And I think you guys bring it back because you guys do have such a beautiful and an easy way of understanding things. So when you guys are doing that, I know we talked quality control, but when you guys are doing that stuff, how hard is it to kind of not fret over the perfection to the, you know, nth degree and still put out really good content?
We fret. I wish we didn't.
We still fret
a lot. We do not like our, I mean, greatest fear sounds really extreme, but one of the things that we, an outcome that we really try to manage for is putting out a recipe that doesn't turn out for someone in their home kitchen. Mm-hmm. Because we know people are buying the ingredients. They're taking time, money, and investing in making one of our recipes. We want it to turn out. And so we make things that don't turn out all the time. I mean, yesterday.
You make it, it doesn't turn out. And we try to figure out why. And you tweak the recipe and you try it again. So we definitely still fret. I think it's more about puzzling through sort of the why it didn't turn out or what we could do differently is sort of our workaround, but still fret, to be honest.
But we have come, I mean, it used to be more demoralizing. And at this point, it's just a given that
it's an expectation.
It's an expectation that a certain percent of your recipes, I mean, we make all of our recipes multiple times, but a certain percent, second, third time even, not going to turn out. We're never going to post that, but you're going to fail sometimes. Mm-hmm. Same thing with our videos. We try, if you scroll through our feed, we try different, we're pretty consistent with how we post and what they look like, but we'll try different things here and there. Sometimes they work amazing and sometimes they don't. And that's part of it. You have to take a risk. You have to try a recipe that probably going to fail. You have to put out a video that's maybe different from your style. And I think that's how we've gotten to where we are, because we really look at what works and what doesn't, and we learn from it.
That's very cool. And that's kind of on the entrepreneurial journey. So I like to talk a little bit about that on here, because I think that's kind of a lot of the ethos of the show is the entrepreneurship. So how would you, like, if there was somebody in your shoes, not necessarily if it's cooking or baking, mm-hmm. but somebody that has an idea, just like you two did, or even something that maybe they're not looking 5 years down the road at where they could monetize, but they just have an idea and they want to get started. What would advice would you give someone that's kind of in your shoes when you started?
I think there's a couple of things. I'm pretty sure a lot of them will agree on, but I would say the first one is just start. Don't wait until you think you're ready. Don't wait until you feel like you've perfected whatever you want to share, because that moment will never happen. I personally was very nervous when we started because I didn't have any videography background. I felt like we were going to fail and I was very nervous. And ultimately Madeline was like, well, we just got to try and no one's going to see it at first. And some things will be a flop and maybe they won't work and that's okay. So I would say number one is just start. And I would say that's the most important first step.
And the second one is be consistent.
Yeah.
Because you can't learn from when you started if you're not being consistent. That's what has helped our content grow so much is, I don't know, we've made 300, 400 recipes over the past 2.5 years. And if you scroll back to our feed at the beginning, they're not as pretty as they are now. And I'm sure we'll scroll back again in a few years and think the same thing. And that's how you build and you grow, is you have to be consistent with what you're posting.
I hear both of those things a lot, but particularly the first point, which is just start. I think a lot of people get very nervous, even in what's kind of funny is we're doing a podcast now. I hear it consistently. People are like, oh, I want to do a podcast. You're like, okay, do it.
Yeah.
And then it just never comes, comes to fruition for a variety of reasons. But a lot of times people get nervous about the idea of failure. Mm-hmm. And so they automatically fail, mm-hmm. right? The only way to guarantee that you fail is to not try. So I think that that's a really inspiring thing, especially because you guys are young and you've just decided, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to use our talents that God gave us and do something with them. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, we tried and we did it. And thankfully it has. So for everybody that's not familiar with the brand, what are some things that you would want, like, how would you say to somebody that you just met on the street, where describe Kitchen by the Sea in an elevator pitch?
Well, putting us on the spot.
On the spot. That one, yeah.
Take it away.
I would say that it's a cooking and baking account where we share recipes primarily from our mom and our grandma, who taught us a lot about what we know, but we also share a lot of outtakes of our beautiful home, Carmel by the Sea. So you can see pieces of primarily our kitchen, but also our gorgeous Carmel by the Sea, where we grew up and where we still think is the best place on earth. We're a little biased, though.
Can we expect in the future, or can everybody expect in the future, potentially like a kitchen by the sea pop up in Carmel at some point down the line, or a baking class or a cookbook. We hope so.
We talked about questions we get asked a lot. Another one is, are you opening a bakery?
Oh, wow.
We have no plans for that at this time, but we love sharing our baked goods with people. So you never know. Maybe a pop-up is the way to do it.
I think I can speak on behalf of the fan base. I don't know all of them personally, but I think everybody would be really thrilled. I think you guys would be surprised at how far and wide people would travel for it. But very well-received brand. And so in 2.5 years, you mentioned 2.5 years. Yeah. In 2.5 years, you guys obviously started, you opened the Instagram account, 0 followers, quickly became 2, obviously, quickly became 1,000. Where are you guys now?
We have, 285,000 on Instagram.
Wow.
As of now. Mm-hmm. TikTok, we have around 200,000 there as well. So that's our community. And that's, what we do it for, because we have a Google Drive of all of our mom and our grandma's recipes that we can use. But we are so grateful for everyone who makes our recipes. Truly, when people tag us and send us photos, it makes our day. We always send it to each other. If we're at work, we're texting each other, like, did you see so-and-so made this?
Awesome.
Like, it still blows our mind when people take the time to make our recipes. And when they share that with us, it means so much.
Mm-hmm. So how much has that meant also to your mom, sharing a lot of her recipes? And was mom keen on the idea at the beginning of sharing the recipes globally?
Was mom keen on sharing her recipes?
I would say she was always so supportive of us trying something new and putting ourselves out there. I would say she is, we always joke, she's our number one fan and also our momager half the time. She has, the first one to give us an idea, the first one to give us feedback. So she's always been really supportive and really excited for us, just as along the journey with us, which we really appreciate.
It is funny though, her recipes are our top hits by far and away. Every time we post something of mom's, pumpkin chocolate chip bread, that was our first viral video ever. That was mom's. Carrot cake, one of our most viewed and used recipes ever, mom's. And it's just,
she doesn't let us forget
she
it.
She doesn't.
We've got a tally list. Number one hit,
this
mom's.
Was my recipe.
Number two hit, mom's.
We'll be sitting around the kitchen and she'll say, why don't you go to the analytics where our site analytics, and she goes, and rank my views, and she goes,
As she should. That's awesome.
They are hers, yes.
So it really is quite literally a family business, a business that was based on family from the beginning and still is, which is so cool. And I think that's something that a lot of people can appreciate in this day and age. But we'll close with this, and I like to ask this question, and I will continue to ask this question. What would you like to have people know about Kitchen by the Sea that may not be immediately apparent online or from your presence on Instagram or TikTok? What's something that you would like to communicate to those 280,000 plus, probably a million next time we talk?
I think what comes to mind for myself is, you know, on social media, you see a lot of perfect things, right? You see a lot of things that are very aspirational or look great, or, you know, they just look so put together. And the reality is, even for us, there's a lot of bloopers or things that don't make it, and not everything turns out, and that's okay. It's okay to fail at something or not have something go the way you plan. So I would say for me, it's that, it's okay to fail. It's okay for something not to turn out perfectly every single time. It's more about what you learn and what you gain from the experience. That is important.
Yeah. And it didn't always look that way. The way our feed looks now, it didn't always look that way. And it will continue to evolve and grow. And we look back at our recipes from 2022 and we say, wow, Julia's photography's gotten a lot better. But that's how it goes. Yeah.
That's great. And I will attest that not everything looks as perfect, because I've made a lot of these recipes myself. And when I got them out, I go, wow, theirs looks really great. And what you have to remind yourself of is these two ladies are professionals. And guess what? It doesn't matter because it still tastes good.
That's so, what matters. Yeah, that is what matters.
You look at it come out of the oven, you're like, that looks a little bit different from what I saw on social media. But you bite into it and you're like, that's everything I imagined, which is the most important part. And I think that's what you guys are sharing, is that joy when someone picks up a fork or grabs a cookie or something, that they're blessed beyond belief and have something they can be proud of and happy with. So thank you both for coming on the podcast and sharing your wonderful brand with everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. There you go. That's a wrap.